We are learning new details this morning about the mass shooting in Parkland, Florida that occurred yesterday. A 19-year-old former student of the high school killed 17 people. He injured 14 more. Governor Rick Scott just spoke in Parkland, Florida.
The violence has to stop. We cannot lose another child in this country to violence in a school.
Momentarily, we are expecting President Trump to deliver a statement about the Parkland shooting. But for now, we turn to NPR's Sarah McCammon, who is in Parkland covering this tragedy, and she was monitoring that press conference. Sarah, the sheriff was there along with Governor Scott. What else did we learn about the investigation so far?
Well, a lot of the focus of this latest update was really about, and it's ongoing right now as we're speaking, but the first part of the press conference really was focused on the need for action. That's how the local sheriff led off the discussion, promising to be very vocal in the coming days about what he thinks should be done. We heard similar themes from the local school superintendent, who was on Twitter this morning calling for action on both gun control and funding investment in mental health services for young people. And even Republican Governor Rick Scott, without mentioning gun control specifically, said it's time to take some action. I think we have a clip of that.
I don't know if we do have that clip, but
maybe not yet.
It's interesting,
but
Sarah.
I can summarize it.
Yeah, summarize what he said.
So he said it's time to have a real conversation about how to protect students at school and also how to keep guns out of the hands of people who may be dangerous. That's a theme we're hearing a lot. And Governor Scott is promising to talk to state leaders in Tallahassee, the capital, in the coming days about what that might look like.
I guess it's not surprising that the conversation is already moving to how things like this happen and how they can be prevented in the future. But Sarah, can you just remind us what we do know about what transpired and what we know about the shooter?
Sure. The shooter is a 19-year-old. He is facing 17 charges of premeditated murder for the 17 people who died. Investigators are still looking into a lot of things, including, you know, how this happened, what the motive may have been. They're looking at his social media activity, which officials have described as disturbing. You know, there are indications he may have hinted or talked about wanting to do something like this. He is expected in court early this afternoon. Meanwhile, again, 17 people have died. Authorities have been in the process of identifying those people, getting word to their families. And those names are not being publicly released yet by authorities anyway, although some names are coming out on social media as they do. But authorities say they want to finish notifying the next of kin first.
Sarah, stay with us. I'm going to bring in another voice here. White House correspondent Scott Horsley is also on the line. So, Scott, we are awaiting President Trump. He's going to deliver a statement about the Florida shooting. Can you just remind us, though, he has already weighed in this morning. What has he been saying thus far?
That's right. The president issued a proclamation in honor of those who were killed in the Florida shooting, and he also tweeted this morning about what he called the warning signs that the Florida shooter was mentally disturbed. He said even expelled from school for bad and erratic behavior. And then the president said, "Neighbors and classmates knew he was a big problem, must always report such instances to authorities again and again." In this case, certainly there were reports about this 19-year-old. It's not as if the authorities were not aware of his behavior. But we heard some of the authorities who talked about this morning, including Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel, saying we need more power. Law enforcement needs more power to take a person like that and bring them before mental health professionals involuntarily and have them examined. It's going to be interesting to see if the president amplifies that tweet in his public remarks this morning from the White House.
What's the president's record on gun control? Where does he stand on this issue? Remind us, Scott.
This president was elected with strong backing from the National Rifle Association. They spent tens of millions of dollars last year on advertisements, some of those in favor of Donald Trump and many of them in opposition to Hillary Clinton, I should say in 2016, not last year. And last year, Trump went to Atlanta to address the NRA convention. He was the first president to do so since Ronald Reagan. And he said at the time, "You came through for me and I'm going to come through for you. So President Trump has been a strong advocate for the NRA and its legislative agenda. For example, the NRA has been pushing a reciprocity measure that would let anyone with a concealed carry permit in one state carry a concealed weapon in any state. Hmm. That's a measure that has passed the Republican-controlled House and is awaiting action in the Senate. But President Trump has been a strong advocate for the agenda of the NRA.
Sarah, you actually covered then-candidate Donald Trump on the campaign trail during the 2016 presidential campaign, and you were with him after the mass shooting that occurred at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida, and you got to watch him respond to that. What did he say? How did he navigate that kind of emotional territory?
Well, as I recall, he repeated some of the themes that, were pretty dominant in his campaign about, focusing on certain groups of people, keeping them out of the country. That's been his response to some, to terrorist events in general. Of course, it depends on who the shooter is and depends on the mood of the country. But I think it will be interesting in this case to see, what he focuses on. He's been on Twitter, of course, focusing on this question of mental illness. And as Scott said, Trump has been, loyal to, allied with the National Rifle Association. I mean, the thing I'll be watching for is, does he sort of pivot off this rhetoric we've been hearing all morning from local officials, from Governor Rick Scott, who again is a Republican, promising to take action, to take steps, to perhaps empower authorities to take guns out of the hands of potentially dangerous people. Also want to point out that Trump's Attorney General Jeff Sessions gave a speech along similar lines just this morning, talking about the need to do something, he said, and protect what he described as the right to life. That's rhetoric you hear more often from conservatives in the context of the abortion debate, but here Sessions was talking about guns. So it feels like there may be some momentum to do something, to take some kind of action. Not clear what it is, but it will be interesting to see if the president, takes a sort of policy-focused response or not.
It was striking to hear Governor Scott say this morning that he wants to work with leaders in Tallahassee to, quote, make sure people with mental illness never touch a gun. Mm-hmm. It was just a year ago that President Trump signed legislation rolling back an Obama-era rule that would have required the Social Security Administration to report people who had been declared disabled because of mental illness, putting them on a list that would have disqualified them for buying a gun.
So that means they actually made it easier for people with mental illnesses to acquire weapons.
That's right. The GOP Congress passed a bill rolling back that Obama-era rule, and Trump signed it in February of last year, making it easier for people with mental illness to buy a gun. Now, that probably wouldn't have applied to the 19-year-old shooter in this case, but it would have applied to hundreds of thousands of people who are collecting disability for a mental illness, as well as people who had been declared unable to take care of their own financial affairs because of mental illness. So that's what Trump's record is. And it does put him seemingly at odds with Governor Scott, although these two have certainly been strong allies in many cases in the past.
Sarah, I mean, we are starting to hear vignettes, some small details about people who have lost their lives in this tragedy, including an assistant football coach who worked at the school, who also worked as a security guard, and that was the hat that he was wearing yesterday. Do we know any more about him or any of the other victims?
Yeah, that information is sort of trickling out. It seems to be coming out through friends and family more than through official sources. But the really tragic thing about this, Rachel, is, and I've said this before, covering other mass shootings, is that this is kind of how it goes. These things, we are so used to this. I'm going to record here because just a few months ago I was talking about that mass shooting, and the stories start to trickle out, the stories of heroic acts, of people pulling together, being brave in the face of this unexpected and sudden trauma. And we're hearing stories like that here in South Florida about the shooting in Parkland yesterday. We heard stories like that after Las Vegas. We hear them again and again, all these wonderful stories about bravery and humanity. And yet, the fact remains that one person with a gun and a desire to do something like this can do that in this country. And it happens again and again. So we'll continue, I think, to hear more of these stories as more information comes out about the people who lost their lives.
A reminder, we are awaiting President Trump. He is expected to give a statement about the Florida shooting momentarily. And we've been speaking with NPR's Sarah McCammon in Parkland, Florida. This is where the shooting happened yesterday. And also NPR White House correspondent Scott Horsley. Sarah, if you could give us a timeline as best you understand it of what happened when yesterday.
Right.
Scott Israel, the local sheriff in Broward, says that more of those details will be coming out at the very next press conference he holds. We don't know when that will be, but he said he's not quite ready to do that, but he's piecing information together, looking at things like video, scene, photo.
We're having a hard time hearing you, Sarah. We've got you on a rough line. We are going to play a little bit of tape. We've got the superintendent of schools there in Parkland, Florida. This is Robert Rumsey. Let's take a listen.
Now is the time for this country to have a real conversation on sensible gun control laws in this country. So our students are asking for that conversation. And I hope we can get it done in this generation, but if we don't, they will.
Scott Horsley, you have been listening to these statements this morning. We are awaiting President Trump, who is expected to deliver a statement about this. Your best guess on whether or not this president is going to, in this moment, dive head on into the debate over gun control and gun rights?
I think it would be surprising to see him do that. The White House reaction to past shootings has typically been, this is not the moment for that conversation, that maybe after some reasonable period of national mourning, perhaps they'll have that conversation. But they've not been happy to seize on moments like this to jump into a policy debate. So I would be surprised to hear that from the president today, but surprises happen.
He also, a reminder, was on Twitter this morning. He, of course, expressed condolences yesterday for the people who lost their lives in this tragedy. This morning, though, striking a bit of a different tone, Scott, in his tweet, laying at least some of the responsibility for things like this at people who might have noticed a red flag of sorts. What did he say?
He said there were so many signs that the Florida shooter was mentally disturbed. He noted that this young man had been expelled from school for bad and erratic behavior. We heard from the FBI this morning that they were aware of his YouTube videos in which he talked about being a professional school shooter. The president tweeted that we must always report such instances to authorities again and again, but this was not a case where the authorities were unaware of this young man. We heard the Broward County Sheriff saying they need more power when they are aware of something like this to take action. And we heard the governor of Florida say there needs to be action to make sure people with mental illness never touch a gun.
I think we have a bit of tape from that press conference this morning where the sheriff was speaking. Let's listen to this.
We will interview every single student or every person in that school that possibly knew something or might not know they know something. They will be thoroughly debriefed, and we will make sure that we're able to prosecute this case. The suspect's been charged with 17 counts of premeditated murder, and law enforcement will do everything we can, the FBI, ourselves, to make sure that this person is convicted of all charges and that justice is served.
Scott, this is a job that a president never wants, to have to go out and make these kinds of statements. President Obama had to do it several times, did he not?
Yes, and in fact, he said on one occasion, I hope I don't have to come back and make a statement like this again while I'm president. And he did, again and again, have to make statements. It was reported that we've already had more than a dozen school shootings in just this early month and a half of 2018 in this country. So this is an all too frequent occurrence.
I think we are anticipating President Trump at the podium any moment now. He is expected to read a statement about the shooting in Florida. He is not expected to take any questions. Again, President Trump has been on Twitter this morning weighing in on the shooting in Florida. He expressed condolences. He also called on neighbors, classmates, teachers to be on the lookout for signs that that could have somehow prevented something like this from happening. President Trump is about to come to the podium to make a statement about the shooting in Florida. Here he is.
Today I speak to a nation in grief. Yesterday, a school filled with innocent children and caring teachers became the scene of terrible violence, hatred, and evil. Around 2:30 yesterday afternoon, police responded to reports of gunfire at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, a great and safe community. There, a shooter, who is now in custody, opened fire on defenseless students and teachers. He murdered 17 people and badly wounded at least 14 others. Our entire nation, with one heavy heart, is praying for the victims and their families. To every parent, teacher, and child who is hurting so badly, we are here for you, whatever you need, whatever we can do to ease your pain. We are all joined together as one American family, and your suffering is our burden also. No child, no teacher should ever be in danger in an American school. No parent should ever have to fear for their sons and daughters when they kiss them goodbye in the morning. Each person who was stolen from us yesterday had a full life ahead of them, a life filled with wondrous beauty and unlimited potential and promise. Each one had dreams to pursue, love to give, and talents to share with the world. And each one had a family to whom they meant everything in the world. Today we mourn for all of those who lost their lives. We comfort the grieving and the wounded. And we hurt for the entire community of Parkland, Florida, that is now in shock and pain and searching for answers. To law enforcement, first responders, and teachers who responded so bravely in the face of danger, we thank you for your courage. Soon after the shooter, I spoke with Governor Scott to convey our deepest sympathies to the people of Florida and our determination to assist in any way that we can. I also spoke with Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi and Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel. I'm making plans to visit Parkland, to meet with families and local officials, and to continue coordinating the federal response. In these moments of heartache and darkness, we hold on to God's word in Scripture. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. We trust in that promise, and we hold fast to our fellow Americans in their time of sorrow. I want to speak now directly to America's children, especially those who feel lost, alone, confused, or even scared. I want you to know that you are never alone, and you never will be. You have people who care about you, who love you, and who will do anything at all to protect you. If you need help, turn to a teacher, a family member, a local police officer, or a faith leader. Answer hate with love. Answer cruelty with kindness. We must also work together to create a culture in our country that embraces the dignity of life, that creates deep and meaningful human connections, and that turns classmates and colleagues into friends and neighbors. Our administration is working closely with local authorities to investigate the shooting and learn everything we can. We are committed to working with state and local leaders to help secure our schools and tackle the difficult issue of mental health. Later this month, I will be meeting with the nation's governors and attorney generals. We're making our schools and our children safer will be our top priority. It is not enough to simply take actions that make us feel like we are making a difference. We must actually make that difference. In times of tragedy, the bonds that sustain us are those of family, faith, community, and country. These bonds are stronger than the forces of hatred and evil, and these bonds grow even stronger in the hours of our greatest need. And so always, but especially today, let us hold our loved ones close. Let us pray for healing and for peace. And let us come together as one nation to wipe away the tears and strive for a much better tomorrow. Thank you, and God bless you all. Thank you very much.
President Trump there wrapping up a prepared statement delivered from the White House today, addressing directly for the first time in this official capacity the shooting, the massacre that happened yesterday in Parkland, Florida. Striking an emotional note there, he said, quote, "We are here for you," speaking directly to the victims and their families. He said, "We are here for you, whatever we can do to ease your pain. We are joined together as one American family. Your burden is our burden also." I'm joined by NPR White House correspondent Scott Horsley, who was listening in on that. Scott, what struck you about the president's statement?
Well, this was the expanded version of the thoughts and prayers that the White House issued yesterday. The president talked about creating a culture where classmates and colleagues become friends, reaching out to people who might feel lost or afraid. He talked about answering cruelty with kindness and hate with love, and tackling the difficult issue of mental health. For anyone who was expecting to hear something about guns, though, there was nothing at all in this statement to address that subject.
So let's talk about that. Mental health is often where the Republican Party has tended to go after a shooting like this. That has been the focus. Instead of thinking about gun control, the idea is that if the country addresses mental health in a more substantive way, then that can prevent future tragedies like this from occurring. What's the Republican Party's record on mental health?
Well, as we said, just a year ago, this president signed a bill that makes it easier for people who've been getting disability because of a mental illness to buy a gun. So the connection between mental health and guns is not a connection that the Republican Party is willing to address. That was a rolling back in Obama era rule that would have put folks with that kind of mental disability on a list where they couldn't have bought a gun. So that's the record there. You're absolutely right, though. Republicans prefer to characterize this as an issue of mental health and sort of leave the gun debate to one side. And I guess maybe that's what the president was talking about when he said it's not enough to take actions that make us feel like we're making a difference. Republicans often dismissed, for example, the bill that died in the Senate in the wake of the Sandy Hook massacre as one that wouldn't have made a real difference in that instance. And so perhaps that was an oblique reference to gun control when he said we're not going to take actions that make us feel as though we're making a difference.
It was interesting. The president used part of his statement to speak directly to children, trying to give a message that children are safe. And he went on to say that no parent should have to suffer that fear that sending their child to school might be the last time that they would see them, or no teacher should be made to feel afraid of a threat like this. He's gonna have to have more of these kinds of conversations. He's going there, correct? He announced he would.
He said he's making plans to visit Parkland. The president was already scheduled to be in Florida tomorrow and probably for the weekend. He was tentatively planning to be in Central Florida for an infrastructure-related event tomorrow and then continue on to Mar-a-Lago for the weekend. So he did say that he's planning to add a visit to Parkland.
Again, President Trump delivering a statement today from the White House on the shooting in Parkland, Florida. He is planning to visit there, as Scott Horsley just mentioned. He will meet with victims of that tragedy. A shooter yesterday went into a high school in Parkland, Florida, took the lives of 17 people. The investigation is ongoing.